So how did this band get together?
The Desperate Hopefuls got together. Well, we just knew each other from the sort of the London kind of rock scene. And I was introduced to Keith through a really good friend of mine called Rich Jones, who plays with, he was originally in a band called the Black Halos, and now he plays with Michael Monroe and stuff. And yeah, no, and Keith was in a band called the Dead Identities, and I saw them play. I think they opened up when Rich Jones was playing with me, and I thought he was really good. So I thought, oh, that guy, be great in my band. And then Keith introduced me to Richie, the bass player, and then we got Robin on board just recently. We made a record in 2010 with another drummer, but we were lucky enough to get Robin for this one. So that's how it happened.
So how does it feel to be playing New York in a couple of days?
Nerve-wracking. I'm pretty nervous, mm-hmm. But very, very excited. I think it's going to be a little bit kind of almost like almost like a high school reunion.
Yeah,
really,
absolutely.
Yeah. Back in the day, when we were sort of all hanging out on Lower East Side at Coney Island High and that kind of thing, and just I think, it's going to be really funny. It's going to be like everyone, sort of all grown up,
Mm-hmm. How do you think you've changed from, a lot of people remember you from, the mid-90s, when you were touring with, Marilyn Manson and things like that. How do you think you've changed as a musician since then?
I've probably mellowed out a little bit, I think. And I also am very much into sort of following my own instinct. So I think when we made Year of the Rat, there was a lot of influence about how, heavy it should be, or how, where we wanted to fit in and what genre and how, that kind of thing. And right now, when I make records, I just make records that I want to make. So I'm a lot more independent, I think, in that way.
I got you. Listening to the album, I kind of got that. It's very hard to peg what it is, aside from the fact that, I think it's pretty good, it's a little bit of everything. So let's talk about, people know some of your obvious influences, but who are some of the musicians that kind of played a role in you discovering this part of your sound?
I really like a band called Wilco.
Mm-hmm.
And, I really love, I like some of the sort of the mellower side of music as well. So I think, and also I really like, I've always loved, bands like The Replacements or writers like Tom Petty or that kind of stuff. And I think I've never really been able to really make a full sort of album to kind of really, really express that sort of thing. I mean, I guess I really like just very good songs. I like, kind of really meaty songwriting. So, yeah, I mean, I'm influenced by a lot of stuff. I mean, even sort of new stuff. I mean, I like a lot of, not a lot of new stuff, but anyway. Sorry, I hope that answers your question.
That's all right. Yeah, of course.
I'm not sure if that's answering your
That's
question.
Okay. Let's have a little bit of fun. Give me a song that's on your iPod or your iPhone or whatever you listen to that you love, that has a place in your heart, but you're kind of ashamed to tell anybody.
Oh, wow. That's a really good question. I should probably get my phone. Let's see. There's a song called All My Friends Are Heathens or Heathens. Do you know that song?
No.
But there's a band called 21 Pilots, which I know is completely mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who they are?
No, I've actually never heard of them.
Oh, wow. Okay, then maybe I am kind of cooler than I actually thought I was. So they're called 21 Pilots, and they have a song called Heathens, and they're really good. Mm-hmm. I really like them. I think they have very, very good songs, but extremely modern and very interesting production. So I like them.
Okay.
That's a new, that would be sort of my little sort of shameful kind of secret on my, that maybe some people wouldn't think that's cool, but
I
like them.
All right, let's take this another step further. Your rainy day song. What's your rainy day song?
in, well, my rainy day song is called It's Raining. And it's and it's by an artist called Irma Thomas. And she was an old sort of New Orleans soul singer. Mm-hmm. But she's one of my favorite singers of all time.
Okay. All right, cool. I was reading the press notes and you were just booming about how happy you are about this album. That's kind of like it's signaling something very important in your career. Can you just discuss that a little bit, why you're so proud of this album?
I think, first of all, that we made it with the help of our fans through Pledge, which was hugely monumental and very significant in a lot of ways. So we asked, you know, people to help us make this record, and they did, which is so great because, well, while I was recording it, while I was doing the vocals, well, even while I was writing it, we were working on the Pledge campaign. So the entire time it felt like I was making this album for people that really wanted to hear it. So for me, that was so significant, rather than just going into a studio and kind of, you know, with the record company funding it, and then you put it out and you wonder if people are going to buy it.
Sure.
You know, I knew there was a certain amount of people that really wanted to hear it. And for me, that's, for someone that isn't always making, you know, that hasn't made a record in a long time, let's put it that way, that was so significant. And also, I think I had the idea that I wanted the lyrics to be a bit about me, very autobiographical, biographical. I don't always write that way. And this one is very much that way. And also the fact that, you know, I'm in a much more normal sort of lifestyle than I ever have been. And to me, that was sort of a challenge to make an interesting sounding record, interesting lyrics about the sort of conflicts and the things that I go through, but in a sort of, you know, a very sort of normal sort of existence. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that was a challenge. And so I think I've achieved that. And I think I'm ready to sort of, just be really confident that, you know, I think a lot of artists in my genre, they feel like every song has to be about partying and how like, you know, how many beers you drink and how, you know, you live this like rock and roll lifestyle, you know? And, but there's so much more to life than that for me, you know, at my age and my stage in life, that kind of thing. So that's, well, I'm really proud of being able to do that.
Okay. Speaking of lyrics, you know, listening to the album, I also noticed on the press notes, like you were giving the behind the song a little bit, some information about some of the songs, but one of them that really stuck out to me was Closer to Defeat. So can you just talk a little bit about where that song comes from? Is there a story that kind of inspired it?
Close to Defeat, it's sort of like, you know, the phrase basically means that, you know, you've almost lost. I've almost lost it. You know, you know, I felt about myself for a long time. You know, I almost lost my ability to do music, you know, to be a front of band, to make another record, to be that, you know, the Bridget West that people think, you know, remember possibly. And I have been close to defeat. But somehow, you know, there's always sort of that desire, that sort of burning kind of desire, like I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna make another record, and it's sort of, you know, something that's inside of you. You know, people like sort of say, you know, it's in the blood, and for me, it is really much, it's very much in the blood. So that's kind of what that song is about. It's, I was close to defeat, but I still did it. The engine is turning over just when you think the car stalled out, you know.
Yeah, thank you for that. If you could go back to 1996 and talk to, you know, yourself and tell her something now that you think would kind of like get her to where you wanted her to be, or to get her to like a place that you might have wanted to avoid, what do you think you'd say?
I'd probably say you need to have a lot more confidence. You don't need some of the people around you in order to achieve your goals. You should strive to keep going. You should understand that you're what people want. not necessarily the rest of the guys. I had a lot of problems, you know, with the band, with New York Blues. So it was, and I kind of, yeah, I think I just did. I don't think I had the confidence back then to really just break out and go, you know what, I'm going to do this on my own, you know, without them. So I think that's probably what I would say.
If we could just discuss this a little bit more, because I mean, some people are hearing or are going to be hearing this right now and go, what? Is she crazy? She's a talented guitarist. She's got a great voice and she's beautiful. How could she have a confidence problem? So can you talk a little bit about how much pressure goes into being like the front person of a band, and especially like in the mid-90s?
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure. And also I think people start to play with your head. And I think that, you know, some people are really, are very, very threatened. I think I've had that in my life, and I've never really recognized it as people being threatened. So in other words, I have a certain amount of, say, like we want to use the word power or energy or whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
I think some people are threatened by that, and they feel like, you know, they want to tame that, or they want to lessen it a little bit in order to make it work for them. And I definitely fell prey to that. I think it's a real lie to say, it's a real sort of untruth. It's not very, to think that, you know, every woman that's beautiful and talented and whatever is going to be confident. It doesn't always go hand in hand, believe it or not. I think it all has a lot to do with how you're brought up and that sort of thing as well. So, yeah, no, I was highly insecure back then. And I know that's probably very difficult to believe, but I was. And I needed to believe in myself a lot more, and I needed to stop listening to people that were trying to, you know, that were threatened by me instead of supporting me.
So what's the music scene, how does the music scene differ from New York and London? I mean, because you've experienced both of them. You've spent significant time in both of them. So how are they different from one another?
The London scene is pretty scarce these days. There's not that much going on. All the clubs have closed down that you play in. There's just like maybe one or two places to play in London, really, that are going to, you know, they're really, you know, worth it. And it's a very, very small scene. Very small. But it's fun. And there's some very, like, really interesting people. And the sense of humor is amazing. And I'm really lucky to have the band that I have and know some of the people that I know in the scene. They're brilliant, great, you know, people. New York, it's much more broad. Mm-hmm. I think there's just a much more sort of broader sense of musicianship in New York. So, you know, you can go, the guy that's playing in the blues jazz band could be playing in the punk band, that kind of thing. It's like everybody's much more sort of it's sort of a bit more interdimensional, I think, in New York. And also it's bigger. I think, you know, New York is just a much more of a musical city than London is, really.
Okay, give me your elevator pitch. Like, why should someone buy this new album?
It's a human album. It's about human. It's a human connection, I think. I tried to make it really something that people will resonate with, that will speak to people and will hopefully inspire people. And I think if you like this type of music, I think it'll be something that you'll hear something new every time you hear it. I think it'll be very highly entertaining.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Thanks for listening, and thanks for being interested in what I'm doing. And you know, contact me, write to me, let me know, you know, what you think about the record, and yeah, I hope to hear it from as many fans as I can.